Welcome again to another round of Roughshod Ramblings. I'm here today with a fantastic friend and guest of mine, James Bartley. Welcome aboard again. James is a researcher, speaker, and experiencer known for his deep dives into hidden realms of spiritual warfare, alien interference, and interdimensional manipulation. Together, we're going to explore the forces shaping our realities and how to reclaim sovereignty and the path to awakening in this world of illusions. So, welcome aboard again. Thank you, James, for coming along. And here we go, part two. It's going to be a ride.
It will be. Thank you for having me back on, Stone.
That's all right. So I'm going to start off like last time you were on, we ended up with a whole lot of questions. So I'm going to go to the top of the questions and we're going to go in reverse so that we are where we are right now. So the first question I'm going to hit you with is, where do you think this age of disclosure is going?
I don't believe that they're going to get anywhere near the bottom line truths. And I use truths plural for a reason. I don't think there's only maybe one particular truth. I think there's an all-encompassing truth, but there's a number of sub-truths, let's say. And we're not going to see anything about alien abductions. We're not going to see anything about human mutilations, cattle mutilations. We're not going to see anything about all the history that had gone on before the so-called Tic Tac videos and the Nimitz Carrier Battle Group videos and testimony, all the great work of the legends from the past, Leonard Stringfield, all his crash retrieval research, which is being carried on by Michael Schrat. Michael Schrat's doing yeoman's work, continuing that legacy. He's been giving a lot of talks and lectures and podcasts, doing slide presentations about the many, well over 100 that's been documented, crash retrievals of alien spacecraft. There were several before Roswell. We're not going to get into that. And in true communist fashion, what they're going to do is they're just going to obliterate history, obliterate the past, make everything seem like it's new and it's something that they're just coming to grips with now, right? And also, certainly, they will not come anywhere near the off-world programs, the joint alien human operations, the off-world conflict, and some of that has bled over onto our planet. They're going to keep it very, very generic, try to keep it at a technological level. But they're never going to get anywhere near the bottom line truths.
When I look at the whole disclosure movement, I mean, they've never given a straight answer. They haven't come forward with any information. Why start believing that they're going to in the near future? You know, it's like, yeah, you're not going to get blood out of stone. You're going to keep on going there, and you're going to keep on hitting a brick wall, no matter what they say, how they butter it up. It's just bread and circuses. It's just absolute bread and circuses. Yeah, the people that they want to be going to and talking to are the real experiences out there. You know, every day someone is stepping forward and saying, "Well, this is what's happened to me." When you take, like, I'm saying that the veil has changed. The veil, the perception of what a veil was, is no longer. So therefore, it doesn't exist. So now we're stepping into, yes, I can actually now say, I had an operation on my foot while I was awake with a doctor that, how was he at all of these such and such? You know, you start looking at the coincidences. There's no such thing as coincidences. Everything is already, you know, pre-planned. There's two or three roads it's going to go down. It's like when we're talking about the harvesting that goes on, I see it as, you know, people talk about the good reptilians and the bad reptilians, and you know, the greys are good and the greys are bad. And it's, for me, it was a bit of all of that, I got to see that there were several different teams, like three teams, good team, middle team, bad team, but they all worked for the same boss. Pretty much like the whole Hegelian dialectic. Good cop, bad cop. And all they're doing is they're doing putting chaotic or putting whatever emotional provocation out there so that there's the distraction, there's the whole contract, so there's everything is about to come down. All of those things that they put in place to keep us in stuck states is falling away. So we are the disclosure. If we keep doing what we're doing and coming forward and saying, well, this is what happened to me. I've got missing time. I know exactly when it happened because we give ourselves these imprints, these stamps. There's enough information that we have when we go into an experience and then we have missing time and then we come back out of it. There are ways to recover all of that. And I believe that that's part of this whole, the whole MK Ultra, the whole MyLabs, the whole human psyche experiments that they've been doing on us. So anyway, you made me go on a tangent there. You made me go on a tangent. All right, so what would you say if, okay, we know we're not going to get disclosure from the governments, any governments, right? So what would you say to the people out there who are new to waking up, coming out with this, oh, I've had an experience. Which way do I turn? What do I look at first? Is there a chart of symptoms? What are they? What do they need to prepare themselves for?
I would recommend is go back and read a lot of the books about alien abductions because a lot of the information is still valid. I think you can develop a template, a base plate, if you will, of understanding with which to build upon, rather than hopping from one YouTube channel to another, one podcast to another, one person's account of aliens to another person's account of their encounters with aliens, because what you're going to get is a wide gamut of perceptions, right? And some of these people, quite frankly, are going to be under more alien control than others. So of necessity, they're supposed to provide a feel-good, warm and fuzzy perspective about all of this. And blithely ignore all the real trauma that's instilled in people who've had these experiences. That's not to marginalize or be dismissive of these accounts from people that have this kind of warm and fuzzy perspective on ETs, but I would favor a more balanced perspective. Look at it from both ends of the spectrum and listen to what your body tells you. What does your body tell you about information? If you're watching someone's video and they're telling about their experiences, monitor how you feel. Do you get sleepy? Do you fall asleep? Do you get agitated? Do you suddenly feel the compulsion to get up and smoke a cigarette or whatever the case may be, turn the channel? Or do you get engrossed in what someone is presenting? And are there thoughts and preconceived biases and impressions that you've come up with which seem to sync up with one perspective or another, right? But always listen to what your body tells you. If you're getting agitated or your pulse starts to race or you start to become lightheaded and sleepy, whatever the case may be, those are signs that someone or something doesn't want you to receive information from a certain source. And again, go back. I know it can be expensive and time consuming, but you and I are from a generation of readers, and it's almost an extinct species these days, especially amongst the younger crowd. But I would recommend get your nose into the books, and you can still find a number of PDFs online of some of the great old school books. And obtain, some of them are quite expensive too, but if you can get them from the source, people like Ryan Wood and people like Donald Schmidt, instead of going out and finding them on Amazon or eBay where people will just jack up the prices, find the authors, their actual web pages, and buy the books from them. That way, the people producing the material actually get compensated and remunerated for their efforts rather than someone else who just wants to make a buck, right?
Yeah.
And, get into the old information and then work your way up to the present. Because if you just jump right in and you have fragmented memories in certain of certain themes, and you have more memories of other themes, all points in between. If one jumps right into it and they just immerse themselves into all this testimony from a variety of witnesses about the secret space program, about alien contactee experiences, about remote viewing, it can be quite overwhelming.
Yeah.
And you have to give yourself time watching these to allow your natural discernment to kick in, because sometimes, quite literally, you're not ready for certain, or not you, but some people are not ready for certain types of information.
Yeah.
It's better to develop a groundwork, a template from which to build upon instead of jumping right in. That's my feeling about it. Because back in the old days, that's what we had to do. We would have to go to conferences and then pick up the little, catalogs and send away for books or magazines, send away for audio cassettes of lectures and workshops people had given, network, talk to people. That's the way I would do it, because otherwise you're just biting off way too much and it can be overwhelming.
I've got a follow-up question with that about Phil Schneider and how his prediction of 2029, there was going to be a mass population cull. So how, for a newcomer that's coming along reading these books and trying to figure out what's going on, and they come across, genuine information and stuff like this. What are your theories on Phil Schneider's experiences? And then we'll backtrack over back over to the what you were just saying and the gatekeepers. So, Phil Schneider.
Believe Phil Schneider was legitimate.
Yep.
Unfortunately, he was suicided, and I've seen pictures of his corpse. It was just horrific. It just his whole head, his whole face was blackened from lack of circulation, and they wrote it off as suicide, right? That's ridiculous. He was a U.S. government geologist in special access, deep black programs. And his job was creating underground bases and tunnel systems. And he was with a construction engineering team in the Sandia Mountains, of all places, in New Mexico. And they lowered him in a basket inside Sandia mountain range, where he encountered some tall grays. And he was shot. I know you're familiar with the story, but for those that are not, he was shot with what amounts to a ray gun, some kind of, I forget, oh, in Dulce, they call them flash guns, if memory serves. But at any rate, it was a handheld device wielded by the tall gray, shot Phil Schneider. And in Phil Schneider's own words, he said he was cut open like a fish, right? And you can see, parts of his hand was missing, his fingers are missing. He unbuttoned his shirt and revealed his chest, and you can see a huge scar in his chest. And luckily, they managed to patch him up so he can live to tell the tale. And he did say that members of the security team that were there to guard him and to, provide security for the tunnel projects, a number of them were killed. And one of them in particular was killed saving his life. Put him into the basket, hit the up button, rather than save himself. And, to the day he died, Phil Schneider was very thankful for the sacrifice that that individual made on his behalf. And so if you look at the Phil Schneider story, you've got to zoom out and see the larger pattern. You see, Paul Benowitz was another individual that was a serious investigator. Then you have people like Rick Doty and others, Greg Bishop, who've tried to discredit him and try to defame him and say he was a victim of a psyop, but he wasn't. Paul Benowitz had uncovered the existence of at least one alien base underground within the Sandia Mountains. Again, could have been the same base that Phil Schneider had drilled into or an annex to it. And Paul Benowitz's instrumentation was picking up what he felt were alien communications signals. He also acquired a lot of film footage of UFO activity, and he'd brought in people out to certain hotspots at night where they can observe all this UFO activity. And as the crow flies, that's not too far. All this activity was not too far from Sandia Base, which was the home of the Armed Forces Special Weapons Project after World War II, underwent a number of name changes, Defense Nuclear Agency, Defense Special Weapons Agency, et cetera, et cetera. It was the military offshoot of the Manhattan Project. The civilian side became the Atomic Energy Commission, which was deeply involved with alien technology. It later changed its name. We now know it as the Department of Energy. The Dulce base beneath Dulce, New Mexico, not too far from, Sandia Crest, Sandia Mountains, is a Department of Energy base. And then, like I said, the Atomic Energy Commission was a civilian branch. Defense Special Weapons Agency went through a number of name changes, was the military branch. In between was the Military Liaison Committee and Sandia Base, which later became known as Sandia Corporation, is where they keep a lot of nuclear weapons at the Manzanillo storage, weapon storage area. They assemble nuclear weapons at Sandia. All the components come from the different Department of Energy sites where they, machine the plutonium into pits and then all that, and they send the parts up to Sandia and they assemble the bombs there. And then, it's distributed to the various military commands that require nuclear weapons. So you have to zoom out and look at what was going on. The spin that they put out was that, oh, we fooled Paul Benowitz into thinking that there were really aliens there, but really the aliens was a cover story for advanced weapons development. Testing nonsense. The subject of aliens and UFOs and the back engineering of the alien technology and the liaison between elements of the Earth governments, Earth military, and aliens is the highest subject, the highest classification there is, bar none. So they're not going to use the highest classified subject in order to provide cover and concealment for a subject much lower down the security classification, i.e., advanced weapons testing. That's nonsense. That's putting the cart before the horse. Right. So Paul Benowitz was an example of that. He wound up in a loony bin, subjected to electroshock therapy, probably died. See, there's a number of old school people I would like the people coming into this subject now to delve into. Phil Schneider, you mentioned Paul Benowitz, Bill Hamilton, one of the old, great old school UFO researchers, developed a number of sources beneath the Antelope Valley in the aerospace underground bases there. That's where he found out about the active Mars base. And he was talking about this in the 90s. I had discussions with him about this subject. So there's a lot there. And also the great Leonard Stringfield, we talked about his work. Wendell Stevens, he did a lot of research when he's retired, he's deceased now, but when he was an active duty Air Force colonel, he worked in the Arctic Circle in Alaska, where his job was to prepare different types of aircraft, load them up with photographic gear of various types, and also electronic sensing gear, and then fly them over the Arctic Circle, over Alaska and other places to look for and photo document UFO sightings, right? And so there's so much more that's been going on. Of course, the work of Bob Lazar, of course, and I will talk about Rendlesham, until I'm blue in the face, but RAF Bentwaters, all the elements were there, 40 to 50 Air Force personnel surrounded a landed craft in a clearing. Three aliens came out of the craft. The wing commander, Gordon Williams, had a face-to-face encounter with these three ETs, the prime witness, Larry Warren, and also at the time, Staff Sergeant Adrian Bastinza were right there. Larry was within touching distance of the landed craft. He suffered radiation poisoning. He was developing internal hemorrhaging. He suffered retina burns from the experience. And afterwards, a day or two after the experience, he was kidnapped from the surface of RAF Bentwaters, taken underground, drugged, where he had an encounter with an alien on the other side of a bright screen, who told him a number of things, including the fact that that particular alien species had been there since the 1940s. Now, what was left unsaid was, well, were the aliens there beneath RAF Bentwaters and the other base, RAF Woodbridge, in the 1940s? Were the aliens already working with humans? We don't know. And that's the thing about this. It's important to develop a grounding, because when you start to get into the hardcore stuff, you start dealing with time travel, you start dealing with timelines, you start dealing with alternate realities, and it's difficult to keep it all in your head. I've got a lot of questions about it myself, right? So, before you got to, line up your ducks in a row, because then when you get around people like us, we take it for granted that there are deep black operations involving aliens and human military working together, and human scientific and medical personnel working together on world, underground, and off world. So it gets very deep. And anyway, I don't know if I answered your question.
No, I think you did. I think you did. So we'll backtrack a little bit. I would suggest that when you're coming into this, keep a journal. Keep a journal, put your date on it and stuff.
Dream journal, absolutely a dream journal.
Whatever you're experiencing, put it down. If you're going through some sort of emotions, put it down, because you can at times you will see that the frequency is hitting you. It's a hard reality to realize that we're actually living in a war situation, with whether we're actually got a weapon in our hands or not. It's all psychological, it's physical, it's underhanded is what it is. And when you start seeing what is going on, what they're doing to you, you've got to ask yourself, why are they doing it to me? What's so special about me? And then you start breaking down what could be harvested with you. This might sound cold and hard and stuff, but you at the end of the day, it's about adapt or die. And we live in a predator prey reality. In the early days, for me, it was I didn't know anything was wrong. I did what I believed everybody else around me was doing, because that was the cult that I was raised in. That's everybody. As soon as I started discovering that it was wrong and reaching out for help, I discovered that everybody was involved. So I already had the heads up when it got to me being an adult going through the government, tentacles, seeing that they're all connected. It didn't matter who was doing what, they were all connected. And now we're stepping into the whole AI genre. And I mean, that's been around forever. That's been around. It's been, it was switched off for a little while, dormant for a little while, then it gets switched back on again. And every single time we catch on and we blow our planet up so that it does not exist, so that we can. And I think we're coming to that whole thing again. The whole Blue Beam project is in full swing. Anyway, I'm digressing, going off track again. Okay, the other question is, do you, going back to one of your personal experiences, okay, at childhood experiences, ET, my lab, whatever it is that. How do you see it now? Do you see more information in the experience when you go back and look in because you can see it third party now? Or is it still set what that's what the experience was? It hasn't
There's a
expanded from
lot of
there.
information
Yep.
yet to be revealed.
Yep. Okay.
There's a lot of information, revelations to come, I do believe. With the benefit of hindsight and with a lot of research and a lot of networking with really knowledgeable people such as yourself, I've been able to fill in some of the blanks.
Oh, yeah.
But I still don't know anywhere close to the whole story. Of just my involvement. But what I can say is that with the benefit of hindsight and having done a lot of research on the subject, I can definitely say that this has been going on for a long time, that this joint alien human military operation going back at least as far as the 40s, because a very simple scenario. And even in the Majestic documents, they talk about cultural relations. It's one of the key findings and the key agendas that they decided to put forth was an emphasis on cultural relations. They could only even talk about the aliens of various stripes. So, say in a crash retrieval scenario, alien crash, craft comes to grief, crashes, a military recovery team secures the site and secures the aliens living and dead. If there was one living alien, that's the start of cultural relations, right? Or at least a continuation of the cultural relations if they'd already made contact with survivors of other crashes. So when you are dealing with and interrogating and attempting to debrief a survivor of a particular craft, crash, you want to know everything about that particular alien species, their culture, their origins, intentions, and capabilities. What are they capable of? What's the nature of the depth and breadth of their technology? What are their motivations? What are their intentions for planet Earth? Who are they allied with? What other alien forces are out there that they report to or they have to answer to? Do they have any foes in the nearby cosmic neighborhood that we need to know about? Right? So a skilled interrogator would try his level best to get this information out of an alien in our scenario. And always keeping in mind that some of these aliens have an agenda that they may not be telling the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth, they may be giving some disinformation. Let me give you an example of what I consider to be alien disinformation. If taken at face value, that book written by that army nurse, I think she was, about the Roswell alien survivor that she'd gotten to know, if we take that scenario, that story at face value, it's clear to me that that alien was lying in some key respects. It was dismissive of the whole concept of reptilians, right? Which is nonsense. And then it used terms that had not come into normal usage at the time, such as genocide and other terms, right? But it made a point of being dismissive about reptilians. And I'm thinking, why? This is the early 1940s. How many people in the military even know the reptilians exist besides those that are involved in like secret society, woo-woo type of stuff, right? So it made a point, and it could have been doing it for the benefit or the misdirection, if you will, of future generations. But they're going to read this, oh, that makes me feel better. This alien is saying that reptilians don't exist. And we know they exist. But that's just an example. So if the alien is lying about that, what else is it lying about, right? And so, one has to look at The old term, the proof is in the pudding. It's clear to me, and okay, this is one of my baseline starting points. We live in an alien-controlled matrix. Absolutely, we do. So, do events such as Roswell, with the benefit of hindsight, do they appear more like a Trojan horse operation, wherein the aliens conveniently allowed one of their craft to blow up to litter this huge debris field with components, alien components, materials, and technology, which would be otherwise unobtainable, right? There's been a number of craft that were recovered that the military and the scientific teams were not even able to access. They tried everything, diamond tip drills, lasers, everything you can think of, and they simply can't access some of these craft. Now, I'm sure someone might have thought about it, but what I would have said if I was there, if someone would ask, I go, well, why don't we ask some of these other aliens we're already working with how to get into this thing, right? But that's just me. I'm kind of simple-minded in this way. But point being is that if you look today, how humanity is enslaved, they have a term that they use in military optics, target acquisition and weapon systems, where they slave like a viewfinder. Like for example, some of the Apache gunship pilots or weapon systems officers, they have this device on their head and they're looking through these optics, and everywhere they turn their head and look, that the weapon system is slaved to point in the direction they're looking at or where their eyes are looking at, right? So if you look at that as an analogy, how many people are slaved to their digital devices today? See, I've been watching these videos lately of how so many teachers in America are quitting because the students are too violent, or they're too chaotic, too dysregulated, and they're so apathetic, they have no interest in learning to read, write, and do basic math. Never in history, in recorded history, have we seen such apathy and indifference to learning as we do today. And those are the generations that are supposed to succeed us, supposed to carry the torch. We're supposed to pass the baton to them, and they're supposed to take us back to the stars. Ain't gonna happen. Because, oh, please.
Sorry, do you feel that this is part of the reset, though? This is part of the regular resets that they do? They
Well,
get everybody all right into the whole AI, and then suddenly AI is then God, and then God gets switched off, and then people can't read and write, or even, they don't have any of the basic skills and this, needs
they
any.
don't, and a lot of these things run in parallel, and then they, there's a confluence of these different tact vectors that come together. And it goes back to what Phil Schneider said about 2029 being a huge culling year. And we're already seeing that just in the last several years, is how many people have succumbed for one reason or another, right? Never mind all the wars and everything else. So there's already been this mass culling underway. They're already setting the stage for mass famine by destroying the food distribution networks, destroying agriculture. Everything is being geared up for this green economy, sustainability, all that BS. But the end result is the shutdown of farms, farms going out of business, et cetera, et cetera. And then being supplanted, replaced by like artificial meat, artificial food,
Bugs.
bugs, et cetera, et cetera. So if you look at it from that standpoint, where, and you can see this in the Majestic documents, and I really encourage those just getting into this, and those that have probably been into it for a while, into the research end of things, if you haven't already done so, I really encourage you to plug into the Woods website. Robert, who's passed away, Robert Wood, and his son Ryan, who I've had on my show. They've got a fine website called the majesticdocuments.com. And it talked about how at the very early stages of the effort to back engineer the alien technology, MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, was involved. Of course, that was the school where Dr. Vannevar Bush, the founding member of Majestic 12, came from. He was the dean of MIT. And it talks specifically about, in a little tiny blurb, a sentence or two, but it just stuck out like a sore thumb to me, because they were talking about exploiting the technology, exploiting the alien bodies in a biological warfare capacity, the germs, the bacteria, the viruses, what have you, utilizing them in, and I know this is a big controversy, oh, germs don't exist, and it's all to do with the terrain. I hear all this from stuff, and there are tangents of this
Semantics,
too.
mate. It's semantics. I put it
It's
down.
semantics.
That
Because
that's what.
if they're just exosomes instead of viruses, well, by now the exosomes have been weaponized. So what's their point, right? And they don't believe that germs and pathogens and bugs exist. Oh yeah, put your money where your mouth is, right? Go have unprotected sex with somebody who's ha who's shedding herpes virus right now. Let's see what happens. You know, get a razor blade, cut the palm of your hand, and dip it into a fresh pile of cat poo.
Oh,
Let's see if your
God.
terrain does something to prevent infection, right? So it just, but anyway, so you have all these parallel tracks of exploiting not only the technology and the alien bodies, but for like warfare purposes and miniaturization. It was specifically mentioned in one of the big reports, because they always had these, they had these frequently, these annual reports. And there was also another report called the White Hot Report, and that dealt specifically with exploiting the technology gained from these various crashes. One of them was the microcircuitry, the miniaturization, right? Because with miniaturization, you can make things smaller and still not have to use so much power. Because they learned all of this from the Roswell debris field, a lot of it from it. Because again, conveniently, at least one of the craft exploded in midair and showered what became known as the debris field with a cornucopia of different types of materials, exotic, unknown materials, technology, what have you. And the stuff that we take for granted today, fiber optics, microcircuitry, what's et cetera, a lot of it was derived from an analysis and a study of the materials recovered at Roswell and other crash retrieval events, as well as the ongoing technological exchange with one or more alien races. And so cycling up to the present, right? Now, I don't know if they had the Jetsons cartoon show in New Zealand when you were growing up. That was like a main feature. It was like the counterpoint to the Flintstones, but the Flintstones, and we had the Jetsons. And then what struck me as a young boy watching the Jetsons, and then even as I got older, high school, and then a young adult, is they were always talking to each other on TV screens, right? Well, that's pretty cool, right? And so nowadays, what are we doing now? Nowadays, kids grow up with iPads, with notebooks, with digital devices, with the latest Android phones and the latest iPhones. And so there's a direct correlation and a direct connection to the technology that was recovered, the miniaturization, the advanced telecommunication systems that were developed, and the slaving of the mind. Because in parallel to all that, you had the, and to me, communism and all of its offshoots, call it socialism, progressivism, Bolshevism, whatever the case may be, they're all the same kind of alien hive mind parasite virus, which is being excreted from the schools into the minds of younger and younger children with each passing day. So they're getting dumb, they're dumbing down the students in class. The kids are already enslaved to digital devices when they're home, even, and then the problems that teachers have trying to separate kids in class from the digital devices, turns into World War III, right? And you have the apathy, they don't want to learn. And also what Barbara Bartholet, like my mentor, who I consider to be the greatest alien abduction researcher of all time, she has concluded, she had concluded, she passed away, she was assassinated, like so many of the greats in the past. She had concluded through her research, and she and I talked about this many times, about what she referred to as the Breed Out the Love program. And what she meant by that was there was this program, and there was a number of programs that ran in parallel, alien hybridization, genetics, neurological programs that ran in parallel and met at a point, right? One of them is the transgender agenda. Barbara was talking about that decades ago. She was showing me videos of alien male of alien abductees who were going through the process of taking the hormones and then eventually going to have their surgery where they would turn themselves into females or try to, right? And she showed me interviews with these people, and she and the people being interviewed, they knew, they would say straight up, the aliens want me to do this, right? So now that's an example of someone who's consciously aware of the fact that it's an alien agenda. How about the countless other people there who were just caught up in the alien hive mind virus, progressive, woke, socialist school system, right? So on the one hand, they're enslaved by their devices. On the other, this alien educational indoctrinational system is dumbing them down. You've got the Breed Out the Love program. So, and what she meant by that was through behavioral conditioning and genetic manipulation, they made successive generations more and more disconnected to divine source, divine guidance, guidance of the divine. That's my definition of God, right? Disconnected from that, permanently in their head space, not heart centered, not physically embodied, but just constantly in their head space, where they're just subject to endless memes, endless TikTok videos, endless self-gratification, dopamine hits over and over and over, to the point where not only till they can't read or write and do basic arithmetic, even college age students can't do this nowadays, but the basic human, underline three times human, attributes and characteristics of empathy, compassion, kindness, loving kindness, all that is out the window. You see how vicious some of these young kids are today. They're just demons in human guise is what they are. And they got that way through this hybridization process and behavioral conditioning process, which Barbara called the Breed Out the Love program. And I'm going to be talking more about this going forward, myself and my colleagues. So, just to round out this part of the discussion, you see where the twain meets, where all this technology was acquired, a technology they otherwise may not have been able to get a hold of, because like I said, some of these craft they can't even get into when they recover them. Michael Schrat was talking is talking about that in his latest series of lectures. Some of these craft they just can't get into. Leonard Stringfield talked about this, right? But Roswell was different. Roswell was a bonanza. The craft exploded, spread technology all over the place. And then, according to Philip Corso, the late Colonel Philip Corso, and probably others that didn't go public, they then seeded that technology into the universities, the R&D centers, the in the industry, said you can patent it, you can do whatever you want with it. They didn't supposedly didn't tell them where it came from, and just let them make of it what they will. Out of that, we got miniaturization, we got instant telecommunications. And so now you have these very dumb, violent, low impulse control, non-developed prefrontal cortex individuals, slave to their digital devices. To me, and then their head is full, whether they realize it or not, of all of this alien communist ideology, right? And so they're already hybridized to an extraordinary extent. So, I mean, how deep do people want to go when they get into this stuff? Because at this point, with this huge die-off that's continuing with each and every passing day, how many real soul-embodied humans are still out there? At some point, a critical mass is going to be reached, a tipping point, and we're going to be in the minority at some point. And I think we're already there. If you just look around, the obliviousness, the apathy, the indifference, the stupidity, we are de-evolving. We should have been progressing and evolving, but instead, as a race, and some races worse than others, some races, all, political correctness aside, some ethnicities, some cultures are extremely de-evolved. They're extremely violent, are extremely backwards and savage and fiendish, right? I mean, there's no point sugarcoating it. That's how we're getting hammered with a worldwide immigration mess. They're just importing all these people that are full of entities, and they're
That
just turning them loose. And the system favors them at the expense of the people, natives of the Western countries. That in itself is an outward manifestation of this alien takeover, because their ideologies are 100% alien. If you look at their holy books and you look at their ideologies and their creeds, there's nothing human about any of that, right?
No. I look at the I go back as far as I can, and I can see that this whole the slave trade program, the programming of dumbing down the human species, when we reach a certain point, we can leave this planet. We can go and conquer other planets. We can, we don't, we can get our abilities online, our telepathy, all our clears come on line. We don't need these technologies. We already embody all of these kinds of technologies. So the synthetic programming of changing out the human genomes and replacing them with, we're going to have androids shortly.
Yes.
We're going to have androids. We're going to live in that time where we're going to get to see them. I'm seeing that they are, they've dumbed down this whole, at least two generations or three generations. And I'm like, how did that happen? When did that happen? Growing up, we fought to be heard, to be here, and now we're here, and those that should have been way ahead of us now are way behind us. It's like now we have to lead by example. These guys out there, 3 days of darkness made us all over. We're going to have a zombie apocalypse on our
Oh
hands
yes,
because
and it's coming. You can see that the headlights of that freight train are getting brighter and getting closer and closer with each passing day, because everything is set up that way.
I sort of see it as AI is going to burn itself out because it's only going to get dumb shit material. Because eventually the smart ones are not going to share any more
Well,
information.
yes, and
And
I've
then
never done it. I don't want to sound like a hypocrite for admitting I've never done it. I just never had the time, but there's a great many people out there that play around with and ask serious questions of, say, ChatGPT. But as many people have pointed out, ChatGPT gives bogus information. It can only give the information it was programmed with to begin with. So if the programmers were all these weirdos from Silicon Valley and other places, right, these entity infested. When I say in the headspace instead of being embodied, when one is in the headspace, that means that all these OCD thought loops, reinforced and exacerbated by repetitive messaging in media, in academia, in social media, right? For constantly, you just have all these essentially memes bouncing around in one's head. And it makes it child's play for these non-corporeal, interdimensional entities to insert all these thoughts into the heads of these people, because they do it in the person's own thought voice. And for the listeners out there, if you're not familiar with the work of Jerry Marzinski, he's an old friend. I've had him on my show a number of times. He spent 30 years in working in clinical psychology, first in the largest sanitarium in North America, in Georgia, if memory serves. And then he spent like 10 years or so in the Arizona state correctional facilities working with hardened violent criminals, right? And what he found out was, especially the ones that were always on meth and speed and other types of drugs, which opened people up to hosting by entities very quickly. All these entities were talking into the heads of all these people, and to the point where they utterly controlled these individuals, right? And on there was occasions when some of these prisoners would say to Jerry Marczynski, "Oh, they want to talk to you, right?" And so they would have a private meeting in Jerry's office, and then the entities would come out and speak to the guy. "Okay, you have no right to interfere with our way of life. This is what we do. This is that their way of life being manipulating and controlling people, right? By, putting in all these obsessive compulsive thought loops and, all that mental disorder stuff." Because a lot of the traditional First Nation countries around the world, to use a modern term, a lot of the traditional cultures, their folkloric tradition, their natural, holistic medical tradition held that there's a spiritual reason for a lot of illnesses, especially mental illness. And what Jerry pointed out was what they did with modern medicine, modern psychology, was they inserted the concept of chemical imbalance in the brain, or mental illness, schizophrenia. These are all made up terms. Those are all entities in there manipulating people. This is why you have stabbings on trains, people running around machetes, and those are all entity infested people. You have these people that just go crazy at the sight of red. It's not even a MAGA shirt. It's not even a Trump shirt. It's just the color red, and they just lose their shit, right? And that's an alien hive mind virus response. So you have more and more people like that today, right? So we're living in literally an alien environment. And with each passing day, people are behaving more and more alien-like.
So do you want to on this area, do you want to get into a bit of explaining what MK Ultra is and how it works, as well as the voice to skull, bring in some of the voice to skull with the technologies and stuff that's going on, because these young people, they can't tell what's divine and what's not. And they're just following the voices that they're hearing in their heads.
Yeah, those.
I recently had an experience with one. It only lasted 10 days, thank goodness. But this host had no concept of what was basically puppetizing her, creating, feeding off her in every which way. And the energy was just, and I'm thinking, well, if they're coming in like that, they're going to hit a lot of people pretty bloody hard. There's a lot of waves. How can people protect themselves? What do they need to look out for? So, yeah, there's like three in one for you.
Let me talk about one of my previous guests, David Case. He was an electronic engineer, and he developed a computer that runs on photonic energy. And when he tried to patent it, he soon began to receive loud tinnitus and ringing in his ears and voice to skull, et cetera, et cetera. So what the powers that be did was, they didn't realize it, but they awakened a sleeping lion, right? Because David Case had the know-how, the technical capability to develop a device that would decouple people from the voice-to-skull computer algorithm system, targeting system that locks on to every people. And then they begin flooding their minds with these repetitive messages. And similar to the non-corporeal beings that Jerry Marczynski talks about, which some degree or other afflicts just about everybody at one time or another, right? Those entities, they never give encouraging messages. They never give uplifting messages. There's always despair, hopelessness, loneliness, fear, paranoia, etc. Well, the technical side of that, with the voice to skull, for example, and to me, it's still, even though there may be apparent humans tweaking the knobs and flicking the switches at some remote location, often as not, those people are entity infested or hosted anyway, or under some kind of malign spiritual influence. So To me, it's really just a modern manifestation of the kind of remote influencing that's been going on with these entities all along. It's just like a modern iteration of it, basically. And what David Cage did was, in order to stop all the incessant voice to skull, that's what V2K means, voice to skull, he developed this kind of audio waveform of some kind. Well, you listen to it when you're sleeping with headphones, and after 3 or 4 nights, and it's helped some people it hasn't, but it's helped a lot of people. It helps them to like decouple from the targeting system, the computer AI algorithmic system that's like zooming in and locating and identifying and targeting, could target one person in a ballroom full of 5,000 people. But if they only want to target one person to give them a heart attack or to make them act in some aberrant kind of maniacal way, that's too easy. They can do that, right? And so that's what they try to do with David. David said, F you. He developed this means to decouple. And I've had him on my show before. But getting back to MK Ultra, what they found out was, and there were efforts in mind control going back, well, as long as these satanic cults, which are reptilian for the most part, reptilian Draco hybrid bloodlines anyway, right? Because it all ties in. Everything I'm going to talk about, the hybridization agenda, the MK Ultra, the mind control, it always ties back to these hybridized royal and royal bloodline offshoot families as well, right? But not strictly exclusive to the royals. But they're just ordinary family trees out there that have come under multi-generational abuse, essentially, from one or more malevolent species of one kind or another, right? And so when people are born into these hybridized reptilian Draco human families, pedophilia is the norm. Ritual abuse is the norm. Mind control is the norm. And because often as not, especially the more elite, quote unquote, bloodline families are of old money, a lot of their young, the ones that they don't kill off and sacrifices, what have you, they groom their children and their grandchildren, what have you. They'll say, okay, this person will be ideally suited for Hollywood, for cinema, for music, the music entertainment world. This person will get them in academia, et cetera, et cetera. So the commonality is they've come from families where they were subjected, even when they were still in the womb, to abuse, trauma abuse. And what they found out is that dissociative identity disorder, which they used to call multiple personality complex or syndrome, but they changed the terminology to dissociative identity disorder. They realized that that attribute, that characteristic, is inheritable. So if in our example, a male and a female are paired up in these cults, and they've both been subjected since childhood and even in the womb to abuse, not just from their reptilian human hybrid handlers and family members, but from sometimes from actual non-human beings themselves in these ceremonies and in these underground bases and these weird science projects. When they're paired up, because there's a bioenergetic match, there's a certain genetic compatibility, they want to maintain the purity, if you will, of the genetics in certain family trees, certain bloodlines, because, and this is getting really deep, certain DNA, specifically DNA that is of non-human origin, be it reptilian, Draco, or some other ETs, there is latent metaphysical powers, latent metaphysical capabilities within that DNA. So they're naturally capable of astral travel, of remote viewing. Some of them, some bloodlines, some individuals have an innate ability to sync up with alien technology. This is another thing they found out in the crash retrievals, right? That sometimes the technology just won't activate or won't work or can be downright dangerous to people fiddling around with it, trying to make it work, trying to understand it. Whereas someone else is at these control panels, someone else starts manipulating the technology. Technology is sentient in a way, and it can instantly detect if a given individual has the right genetics, the right bioenergetic frequency to sync up and work with alien technology. So I've spoken to people that, and I'm kind of digressing, but not really, who recall as a young girl taken into a facility. They met military and scientific personnel. They were taken on board an alien craft, and the alien craft seemed to light up and activate because it recognized the genetic profile of that little girl, because latent within her DNA, and probably has something to do with her family tree, but also past parallel incarnations.
Oh yeah, it goes deep. You're breaking up there, honey. You're
What's that?
breaking up. You were
Oh, I'm
breaking up.
sorry.
Do you want to? It's all
Oh,
right.
is that better?
There's a lot of energy going into it. Yeah,
Oh,
no, it is
sorry,
better.
sorry.
No, no.
How long was the breaking up lasting for? I was
Oh,
on a roll. That's too bad.
yeah. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, no, it's only a little bit. Only a little bit. Keep going. Keep
Okay,
going.
okay.
Keep going.
Now,
It's
getting
good.
back to the MK Ultra aspect,
Yep.
they
Yep.
realized that not only in our example, if they paired a man or a woman together, and then they had offspring, they had children, that those children, aside from getting abused anyway, they would inherit the ability to disassociate.
Yeah.
So the ability to be able to tune out all the trauma and abuse they're presently getting, and their mind and their spirit and their consciousness can go somewhere else, right? And whether it's astrally or whether it's just, there's a protective measure of what the brain does, is it creates these amnesic barriers, walls off, if you will, the memories of certain types of trauma, right? That's like people in a car accident, they don't remember the accident, they just remember the trauma. They remember the aftermath. They don't remember the exact moment they banged their head or whatever the case may be, right? So the brain is a very fluid kind of organic metaphysical dynamo. Right. And there have been a number of cases. I just interviewed a gal, and Bryce Taylor was a prime example of this. She was just living her life day to day like anyone else, thinking everything was hunky dory, got into a car accident, and her forehead and face smashed into the windshield.
Oh, yeah.
And what that did was it unblocked, if you will,
Yeah.
these amnesic barriers. And then thereafter, all these memories, along with the body memories, came flooding into her conscious awareness, right? So,
Yeah.
children born into these cult abuse families, often tied in with not just ritual abuse, cult abuse, but also tied into the intelligence communities,
Yeah.
be it the CIA, NSA, Naval Intelligence, MI5, MI6, whatever the case may be, because you will find warlocks, adepts, hybridized
Yeah.
cultists. Especially in the military industrial intelligence complex, there's a lot of them, right? Because what I believe happened, just to digress for a second, was technology had progressed with the aid of these aliens, right? Of various stripes. You know, they were the muses, they were the ones dropping in all the epiphanies and all the bright ideas. And
Yeah.
right, sure, you know, I give credit to a lot of the physicists, theoretical physicists, experimental, physicists, et cetera, who developed a lot of this stuff, but I don't think they did it all on their own. I think that there was some kind of muse, if you will,
Yeah.
that was dropping in all these hints. And within that milieu, within that framework, were always these high-level Freemasons, adepts, warlocks in that mix. So when technology progressed to the point where we were back as in the days of yore, in these exclusive fraternities, if you will, for exclusive
Yeah.
clubs and cults, And then, what is the military or elements of the military but one big cult, right? The technology progressed to the point where not only could they now interface with the alien technology and the aliens along with it, but a lot of those adepts and warlocks that were part of the framework to begin with, part of the secret societies to begin with, who themselves were hybridized, reptilian human hybrids or mantis hybrids or whatever the case may be, right? That's where the twain met, right? And then they knew from the downloads they were getting from the entities indwelling within them, because many of these adepts and warlocks are host for one or more non-human entities. And at times, sometimes these entities are guiding the ship, navigating the host human hybrid all the time, or sometimes part of the time. But at any rate, they provide guidance. And then before too long, all that technology and all the know-how, it got sucked into these black programs and the aerospace corporations and the deep black military that were already run by these hybridized minions anyway, right? But I'm getting ahead of myself. So the MK Ultra became a capability where they realized that it's an inheritable trait, and then if they can subject the children to extreme forms of abuse, just use your imagination, before the age of 5, they will fragment, honeycomb that child's consciousness, create all these compartments, and as a safety mechanism, the brain, the mind, will create these alter personalities to survive all the conflict. That's why, I mean, I've been talking to people when they suddenly switch to a childhood alter. One moment you're talking to them as an adult, and next they sound like a child. It's because for whatever reason, something triggered them to, and it could have been something subtle. It could have been something, overheard, something on TV or whatever the case may be, right? So then you have someone who could be utilized by the cult, and you zoom out by the intelligence agencies, etc., as a covert operative, essentially. The best spies, the best operatives don't know they're operatives, right? And that was the case with many of us. We didn't realize we were plugged into these weird science programs. In your case, it was a lot of cult abuse and the weird science programs on top of that, right? And so, it's a process of, we are the sum of all of our parts. And unfortunately, and hopefully things will change, and we can recover these memories, submerged, hidden memories safely, right?